Brian Had a Dream. 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000. Hey everybody, I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
And welcome once again to the quest for 10,000. Thank you so much for downloading this week's episode and for sharing it with a friend. Remember, you can catch us at 10kmovies.com or at 10kmovies on Twitter. Now, as you know, especially if you're listening to a podcast about movies, a very important cinematic event is on the horizon: the release of Episode 7 of the Star Wars. Brian, how are you feeling about this upcoming movie?
I am cautiously optimistic, but I'm super excited.
I am the same. Hopefully, J.J. Abrams can do as good a job with Star Wars as he did with Star Trek, although I know some people think he ruined Star Trek.
I disagree.
We disagree with that, and it was still a pretty cool movie, even if you feel like he did bad things to Kirk and Spock and that sort of thing. So this week's episode actually is a little bit different. We're recording this part of the podcast before Brian and I go and see Episode 7, and then we'll stop recording and we'll go see the movie, and then we'll come back and, with a great deal of spoiler warnings, talk about the film and our top five moments from it and our other takeaways and that sort of thing. But Brian's idea to start us off before we go see the film was to do what, Brian?
Well, I think we should list three or four predictions for what we think is going to happen in the movie, and then we can come back and we can immediately make fools of ourselves and see how far off we are.
That sounds pretty good. I like the idea of doing three. Do we want to alternate, or you give all three, me give all three?
I think alternate.
Let's alternate. Okay. Well, why don't you go first? This is your idea.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with one that I think is not a terribly unpopular prediction. There's been a lot of speculation because of the way they have marketed and kind of they've put Han and Leia up front and a focal point, even Chewie and all the other original trilogy characters that are returning. But one character that everybody has noticed has been a little bit backgrounded and hidden from those promotional materials is Luke.
Right.
And so that's led to wild speculation about what Luke's role will be.
Fueled by Mark Hamill.
Fueled by Mark, yes. He's
saying sometime right before Thanksgiving, oh, these non-disclosure agreements, you can't believe what I'm not allowed to say, you know.
Well, I think, you know, even 6-7 months ago, everybody sort of knew that Luke would be mysterious and separated from the others. But the assumption at the time was Luke would be sort of in the Obi-Wan role, and that a good portion of the film would be finding him and bringing him back. Well, somehow, as the seasons changed from summer to fall, those rumors shifted into Luke is evil. Or Luke is somehow connected.
Okay. So your prediction is?
My prediction is that Luke will somehow be aligned with the big bad in the movie. Whether he is the evil himself or he's trained somehow, Luke is on the he's gone to the dark side.
Well, this is my prediction as well, and it's heck, I'm kind of cheating because it's maybe three sort of predictions rolled into one. I agree. My thought is either Luke is Kylo Ren, or he trained Kylo Ren. And then we'll save another one that I think maybe about Kylo Ren.
Okay, so I'll
just go ahead and say it. Or Kylo Ren is somehow a clone of Luke or Vader or something like that. But
okay.
But my prediction, I think, same as yours, Luke is somehow connected to the dark side in this one. So our first predictions are pretty much the same.
Yours is more specific. Mine's more hedging my bets and being general.
Right.
Okay, my second prediction is super specific, okay? Chewie dies.
Okay, I for one think that's a red herring, but I am going to say, because there's a new droid on the block who the kids seem to love and the toy collectors
do not tell me R2 is gone.
R2-D2 going dead. defunct, will be disabled at the end of the film.
Please tell me it's C-3PO and not R2. Of course, I guess there's only room on the block for one miniature size.
That's what I'm saying. They've been marketing this droid, so yeah. So,
but R2-D2 is like the mask. It's like saying the Muppets would kill off Kermit. I mean, he's the mascot of Star Wars. When you think Star Wars, he's the first character. Him and C-3PO are the only three, if you don't count Vader, who have been in all three or all six movies.
Mm-hmm.
And R2's the one that's lovable, that's friendly, that everybody just sort of gravitates towards.
I think R2's maybe a little bit more like Fozzie, and after watching the Muppets TV show, I'm okay if we don't have Fozzie.
Okay, we're going to have to agree to disagree. The Muppets TV show is fairly good for a first season show.
Prediction number three.
Okay. Well, what is your second? Oh, you said R2 dies. Okay, that was your second. Prediction number three. Daisy is Han and Luke's daughter. The character who Daisy Ridley plays. I don't know the character's name, but...
Yeah, I don't... Yeah,
maybe
I
it's... Don't, I don't know.
I don't know that either. And my third prediction, also related to that one, I think, yeah, that probably will be Han and Leia's daughter. But my prediction is that Han and Leia, at least at the start of the film, are not together. They are not married. Okay. They are not the couple that we saw them at the end of Return of the Jedi.
The only reason, I mean, and I there's some, you know, people that are upset because apparently in the comic books, which are now canon, Han has an ex-wife somewhere, you know, whether it's before he met Leia, afterwards, we don't know, but he has an ex-wife somewhere. And so I'll give you that's probably likely. But the only thing I will hold out hope that different is that one scene in the trailers where Han is holding Leia, and really, just that little clip is probably the most tender moment we've ever seen between those two characters, ever.
It's quite possible.
And, you know,
it's quite possible. Other things that I would hope to see, I won't call these predictions. I kind of would like to see Leia with a lightsaber. That would kind of be cool.
Does she have the Force? I mean, is she capable of wielding
a lightsaber? That's why we've never seen her with a lightsaber.
That'd be cool. Admiral Akbar, I want him to be back.
Like Admiral Akbar back. Honestly, my biggest hope is the end of the movie, or near the end of the movie, like in A New Hope, where Han comes back to save the day. I'm hoping that Lando
will suddenly show up
with some sort of cosmic equivalent of Colt 45. And Billy Dee Williams will make the save as the only, well, as now the only other African-American in the universe. That's a whole nother conversation, though, about Star Wars.
No, this was a long time ago. Not in the future. This was a long time ago.
Far, far away.
Well, here's the other question. Before we go, we need to mention one other thing. You and I are both aware of these intricate rumors that have been like a conspiracy theory that has gone up on the web over the past couple of weeks that speculates that one of the most reviled characters in the prequel trilogy is about to be reinterpreted in a major way. The speculation is that this person, a pretty substantial and well-reasoned theory, that Jar Jar Binks was aligned with the Empire the whole time, and then this movie would reveal that he was like the puppet behind the strings of the Emperor, was none other than Jar Jar Binks. I just want to throw it out there so we can respond to that if it is true, and we can say we were aware of it. Don't think it's true.
I don't think it's true. I hope to God it's not true. If J.J. Abrams does that, it will make
it's
me...
It's pretty gutsy if he does that.
Sad. One other thing to say, too. We were talking about this, and this may appear in another episode. There's a lot riding on this movie. There are Star Wars movies to come. Yeah. Based on this, Rogue One, is that the name of
it? Rogue One, the next one.
The next one and that sort of thing. I'm not excited yet for any other Star Wars movies but this one. That may just be my personality, that I can only focus on so much at one time. But I think it's also a memory of seeing the prequels. And look, the prequels get dumped on. They're okay movies. It's a generational thing. I'm not going to say they're horrible and all that, but I was excited for Episode One, and it just couldn't deliver on the expectations. So I'm trying to keep a much cooler demeanor and not get too hyped up about any aspect of this.
I'm not necessarily excited about Rogue One, although the concept sounds cool, but I think it might be better suited as a television show. But the one announced Star Wars movie standalone feature that's not one of the direct sequels. A movie about Boba Fett?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
You really can't go wrong with that. I'm pretty sure that was going to get me in my butt to see. So.
But even saying that, even hedging my bets, I do feel the closer we actually get to showtime, the more excited I can tell I'm getting. And sure, you're all excited too to see that. You've probably, by the time you listen to this, already seen it yourself. And so you're going to be eager to get to the part where we discuss the movie and our top five moments from that. So without further ado, let's get ready to do that. We're going to stop recording here and play a little music. And when we come back, we'll have our thoughts on episode 6. All right, everybody, we are back. Brian and I have just gotten done about 15 minutes ago seeing episode 7. Brian, I've got to take a little bit of a breath. That was an intense movie-going experience for me, but one that I loved. What did you think?
Well, my initial thought was they nailed all the humor. There was more humor in this movie than in the entirety of the prequels. I think they did little callbacks and beats, almost encapsulated the plot of the original trilogy, almost all of it rolled up into one movie. There were beats that were just like exactly the same as in Empire. There was stuff from Star Wars, there was stuff from Return. It was just, you know, you could see it all just rolling back as if you were reliving all those movies rolled into like 1 2-hour and 15 minute experience.
Yeah, it was impressive the way they did new stuff to try to get new fans who had never maybe seen a Star Wars movie in the theater before, as well as you said, doing callbacks to old things, you know, making sure that the old fans would love it just as much as they love the other ones. My personal thought is this is the best Star Wars film since Empire. Felt like the most complete. Now we'll talk a little bit about some of the things maybe we didn't like and some of the issues maybe with the film, but in terms of story and in terms of things, I felt like it was the most complete and most in some ways emotionally satisfying kind of story in terms of all the emotions that it hit.
One thing I really appreciated that the prequels never provided us. This movie, we left with questions.
Right.
So until episode 8 comes out, which is like 2 years from now, we have an opportunity to like speculate and discuss, and which the prequels never provided. So for the first time in my lifetime, there are questions about the Star Wars universe that we need answers to.
I think it was obvious from our conversations before in this podcast and just conversations we had had before that even. You were way more excited about this movie than
certainly.
I was. I am so freaking giddy about what I just saw. And I think I'm now as excited about episode 8 as you were coming up about this. And that's, what more can you really ask
for a movie like this? This will take me into my 40s.
Yeah.
And before, you know, the ninth episode comes out.
Maybe episode 8 can be 2001.
Yeah.
Maybe so. Maybe you save that.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, let's talk a little bit about more particularly. We did three predictions.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did. We did three predictions a little bit earlier.
We erased that.
Mine. 2 for 3.
Yeah,
that's pretty good batting average.
Batting 600. I mean, you are an all-star.
Brian was.
I had a rough night at the plate.
We'll give you a half. It's like you got on base
let's call it a walk.
But that's okay. There are going to be some minor, maybe.
Unfortunately, a few
major spoilers ahead. But let's talk about, I think in the course of talking about our moments, our favorite moments, let's say our top three moments,
mm-hmm.
we'll probably end up talking about some of our predictions.
Okay.
Anyway, so let's just do that. Let's talk about what. And they don't have to be necessarily in any particular order, but just three moments each that we really loved about this film.
Okay, you can go with your first.
Okay, the first thing I'm going to go with
it's part of what you already mentioned. The humor within this film was, I thought, something that made it a little bit unique in terms of the other Star Wars films.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of it seemed kind of organic and natural to the situation. Some of it, again, as you said, cheesy. Particularly, there's a moment when Kylo Ren's going crazy, and you cut to these stormtroopers kind of walking up, and then realizing he's getting mad and walking away.
Well,
a little corny, but,
well,
but really
this,
funny.
The one moment that I thought was almost borderline too corny was when Finn and BB-8 are conspiring to like keep a secret from Rey. And Finn gives him a thumbs up, and then BB-8 pulls a lighter out of his gut, and it just flips up as if it's a thumb. That was almost too cute.
That almost, but it was great. And I would say, too, now that you mention it, my second part of the movie I got to mention is being a favorite, is all these new characters and the performances they gave. I would put that... is something that really impressed me. BB-8 is the droid, and whatever sort of maneuvering, special effects, voiceover work that went into that.
Possibly
amazing.
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader, probably a part of that. But also the actors, whose names I can't remember, but who played Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren's Adam Driver.
Who played Finn, who played
Rey. John Boyega. And Daisy Ridley.
They were all amazing. I felt they did a better job with some of the emotional weight of this film. They wore that weight a bit better than Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford did.
They are at this point in their careers, they are better actors than all but Harrison were in the first movie.
Right. Right.
You know, they just feel like they're better prepared for the moment. Part of that may be Mark and Carrie really hadn't, and even Harrison, had no idea what they just walked into.
That's true.
These people knew exactly what they were stepping into from the moment they stepped on set.
A little more.
And they had a little more gravitas behind them.
Yeah.
So.
And then I'll say my third moment, and some may disagree with me, this might be the most debated part of this film for fans. I loved the way it ended. I loved the way it ended. That scene, and then another scene a little bit earlier in the film.
Well, we need to talk.
We'll have
about
the
it.
Most
we need to,
the
like,
most
get them
debate
out there.
And things about them. I'll let you announce that.
Okay. I'll be the spoiler.
But the last scene, I really.
Oh, I agree.
Liked that.
Well, okay.
That was probably, in many ways, that was probably my favorite scene in the movie.
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and say my top. Number one, this was Harrison Ford's victory lap.
Yeah.
This was like his farewell tour, going around the stadium, you know, lapping it up, saying, hey guys, remember me, one last hurrah, and he nailed it. And it was in essence, it was a tribute to what he's done. There was even an Indiana Jones slight little reference in the middle of the movie, which was perfect as well.
Yeah.
So it was just a way to say, hey, this guy has, you know, to a certain generation, I think maybe Sean Connery and James Bond defined machismo and manhood, and some people, Clint Eastwood did. And for people of our age, I think Harrison Ford was the guy you wanted to be.
Indiana Jones, Han Solo.
That was what you wanted to be, and that was what a man was. And he just nailed it.
Right.
I mean, that was just, that part was just, from the moment he entered the film, it went into another level.
Right.
That it was good before then, but that took it to just...
And you gotta say, he was the emotional core...
Oh, he was certainly...
...of that film, and becoming a surrogate father to Rey, and then, of course, being, major spoiler, who?
Kylo Ren's father,
whose real name is Ben.
It's Ben, if we heard it correctly, which I think we did.
Yeah, we did.
Which implies he's named after Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, that would be...
Which is also cool.
Exactly.
Because I never really got... I can understand why Leia would do that, but I never really understood why... I mean, Han has no real emotional connection to Obi-Wan. He only knew him briefly, and he never really bonded with the guy. So I don't... But that's beside the point.
So, so Harrison Ford, that...
Yeah. That was one with a bullet. I mean, that's the best part of the movie is Harrison Ford.
beyond that, you know, we talked about it a little bit before, the movie was funny.
Yeah.
And thinking back on it now, I don't even think that the original trilogy had as much just joyful, they didn't feel as joyful. This movie felt like it was with, you know, the people that were making it were having a good time. They did not take themselves too seriously. There were of course moments of real seriousness.
Right.
But it was just a joyful experience in a way that I don't think the others necessarily got. They tried to do it, but it was too cutesy.
Right.
Okay. And then third. I really liked the part with Lupita Nyong'o, the new bar, the new cantina. I thought that was really well done and opened the doors up for all sorts. This movie, too, one thing I like is I feel like, more so than maybe the original trilogy, except for maybe Return, it added a lot more dimension for the scope of the universe.
Right.
Showed a lot more variation in its in the creatures and inhabitants that make it up. You saw glimpses of it. I love the callbacks. I love the Admiral Ackbar showing up. You know, all these minor characters just pop up here and there. It really was good.
Yeah, that was amazing. I agree, the world building there. I think another real interesting scene I just want to mention, because it was the weirdest scene probably in all of Star Wars, at least in the original trilogy, that scene in the cave with Luke and he cuts and he sees his own dad and stuff. There was a scene like that with Rey in about the middle of the movie.
Which was better than the cave scene.
That was much better, but you kind of knew what was going on if you had seen that cave scene. It was like she was having some kind of forced delusion or memory.
It's almost like, because it's prompted when she touches or nears Vader's lightsaber. It's almost like, I'm going to say it's akin to as if the lightsaber has some sort of mystical force in it.
Right.
It sort of flashes back and gets you.
And her connections to the force.
But it carries these weight of these memories.
Sort of
and there were and that was another scene that was somewhat enigmatic. It hinted at things, but it didn't really explain that she obviously is a Jedi.
Right.
But Rey, which is the heroine and the main character in the film, we don't know her lineage, how she got to be a Jedi, how she got involved.
Although we have some thoughts and theories, and maybe we'll end the podcast with that. Before we get there, I want to talk about
things we didn't like.
You know, with every Star Wars film, especially ones George Lucas was more of a part of, there's always a little bit of clunkiness. And I will say, as good as this film was, there were a couple of parts that were a little clunky. Some may say that the emergence or appearance of some of the actors that are known for being in J.J. Abrams' productions.
I love that.
Were there. You love that. So some might say that's a little clunky. At the very end of the film, when they destroy the big weapon, spoiler alert, Star Wars, they destroy a big weapon. Amazing. I know everyone's shocked by that.
It's like the Death Star on steroids.
There's lens flare. There's the J.J. Abrams lens flare.
I thought that was organic.
You know, a couple little pacing issues. There's a scene when Leia and Han reunite that I felt the dialogue, it was needed dialogue to move the story along about how they'd been apart and how they came back together and why they were apart. But it felt like that happened kind of quick, and the resolution between them, whatever conflict was between them, was maybe a little too quick. Again, I know why it had to happen that way, but it just felt at the time a little clunkier, maybe than it should have been. You know, that was probably one of the main things that took me out of the movie a little bit. What about for you?
Well, the first thing is at the very beginning of the film, they're looking for Luke. I mean, that's what the whole impetus of the film is. They're looking for Luke. And we were, too, for about 2 hours and 20 minutes. But they're looking.
And we found him.
Well, we're looking for Luke, and there's a piece to this map that they need. And the best fighter pilot, Poe Dameron, played by Oscar Isaac, has been assigned with BB-8 to go find this on this remote planet. And he gets there, and we come in. He's meeting with the guy who has the map. We don't know why this guy has this map, where this came from. It's kind of a mystery, but it's Max von Sydow, who's a world famous actor, worked in the Ingmar Bergman film, been around for forever. He's in his 80s, and he's dead 5 minutes later. Right. And I really felt like that was, if you're going to bring in a guy of that caliber, why just throw him away on a glorified cameo that has no, that anybody could have done. It has no reels. But it kind of irked me a little bit. The other thing that was distracting, and I hate this because I wish it wasn't, but Carrie Fisher's voice was a little distracting to me. I mean, she is clearly, she sounded like one of the Bouvier sisters on The Simpsons. I mean, she had that kind of, she's been smoking heavily, and I know it's because she's been, you know, lived that kind of a lifestyle for so long, but it just felt, I think there's a reason why she hasn't really been given as many acting roles, and more of a writer and stuff like that. I think she's very talented, but I just don't know if she, you know, it was nice to see her. She did a great, she did a fantastic job. I was happy to see her, but I feel like it was just a little distracting to see sometimes. It pulled me out of the movie a little bit.
Right. Okay. I can understand that. Well, again, I still have to process this, so a lot of this is hard to put into words. Let's end it, though, with maybe two thoughts.
Okay.
I think one that we agree on, one that maybe you're just holding out hope on, but what what might still yet to be revealed in season,
so we're talking.
We're looking forward. You were 0-3 on your predictions.
I was
0-3. But here's a chance.
Just to remember
to
what my predictions were. Luke was evil. No. Well, it's indeterminate. It's really indeterminate. He was not evil in this movie.
Right.
He could be evil.
My prediction was that he was connected to the evil. He probably trained the evil,
and that was spot on. That was spot on. In my prediction, I said he was evil, and he was not within the confines of this movie. He could, the very next scene of episode 8, he could be attacking. Possible.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
My other prediction was that Chewie died.
And I predicted R2 would die.
By this much. Chewie did not die. His best friend died in a horrible, horrible, gut-wrenching death
scene.
Yeah. Gut-wrenching. What was my third prediction? I don't even remember.
Third prediction was
that Rey was Han and Leia's daughter.
Yeah, so let's get to that because
missed it.
I
could be possible. I could have two of my three are still possibility have not been confirmed.
I said that I didn't think that she was. I said that I agreed that she was probably Han and Leia's daughter, but I don't think that
very
anymore.
Very unlikely.
So
possible.
Now my new prediction is that Rey is Luke's daughter.
It's very possible.
Rey is Luke's
daughter. She clearly has
and
the Force, and she clearly has a connection.
And that Rey was deposited on the planet Jakku so as to protect her from her cousin, Kylo Ren.
She has this identical cousins to the core. Oh, we're running out of time. She's waiting on somebody to come back to Jakku. Which we don't know yet what that situation
probably is. Her mom.
But we don't know. We don't know. Somebody is going to meet her back there.
Right.
And, you know, we don't really know. You brought up during the middle of the film, you turned to me, well, we talked briefly about maybe Finn is related somehow to Billy Dee Williams or Lando, and that would be awesome if true. But I think in the next movie, the one theory that has been out there that has not officially been ruled out, I don't think, the main bad guy in this movie seems to be Commander Snoke or Emperor Snoke or whatever. And he only communicates via hologram, which is Palpatine-esque, of course. But I mentioned earlier that the bad guy could be, there was a theory that the bad guy was the Sith leader, Jar Jar Binks. And it's entirely possible. You can't tell me it's not right now.
Jar Jar Binks could be Snoke.
Is Jar Jar.
So yeah, that one's still alive.
Lisa does not think so.
God help us if that is the case, and all the goodwill J.J. Abrams built up with this film may be completely gone.
You talked about the ending,
gone.
And I will say the ending was incredibly ballsy. It was very ballsy to hire Luke, bring him back, and have him in the movie for all of like 2 minutes.
Yeah, that,
ballsy, and it worked. Nailed it for me.
That was
amazing.
Perfect. Well, listeners, you tell us what you think worked in this film.
Well, go see it first.
Go see it, and then come back to 10kmovies.com. Tell us what you think. Tell us on Twitter at 10kmovies and interact with us. Let us know what your top moments were, what you
thought worked, what you thought didn't work. Thank you again so much for downloading and listening. All I gotta say is, may the force be with you.
Agreed.
Have a good one. Yeah.